नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। गीता चैप्टर 10, चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द ऑपुलेंस ऑफ द अब्सोल्यूट। टेक्स्ट नंबर 8। अहम सर्वस्य प्रभवो मत्तः सर्वं प्रवर्तते इति मत्वा भजन्ते माम् बुद्धा भाव समन्विता। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: आई एम द सोर्स ऑफ ऑल स्पिरिचुअल एंड मटेरियल वर्ल्ड्स, एवरीथिंग एमिनेट्स फ्रॉम मी, द वॉइस who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Purport: a learned scholar who has studied the Vedas perfectly and has information from authorities like Lord Chaitanya, and who knows how to apply these teachings, can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. And because he knows this perfectly, he becomes firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. He can never be deviated by any amount of nonsensical commentaries or by fools. All Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva, and all other demigods. In the Atharva Veda, it is said, Yo Brahmanam Vidadati Purvam, Yo Vai Vedamscha Gapayati Sma Krishna. It was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Then again, the Narayana Upanishad says, Ata Purusho Havai Narayano Kamayata Praja Sujayeti. Then the Supreme Personality Narayan desired to create living entities. The Upanishad continues, Narayanat Brahma Jayate, Narayanat Prajapati Prajayate, Narayanat Indro Jayate, Narayanat Ashtav Vasavo Jayante, Narayanat Ekadasha Rudra Jayante, Narayanat Dvadasha Ditiya. From Narayan, Brahma is born, and from Narayan, the patriarchs are also born. From Narayan, Indra is born. From Narayan, the 8 Vasus are born. From Narayan, the 11 Rudras are born. From Narayan, the 12 Adityas are born. This Narayan is an expansion of Krishna. So it's a long purport, so we'll just start. I just read the first paragraph. Reading from the 10th chapter, text number 8. In fact, in this 10th chapter, text number 8 to 11, the 4 verses from 8 to 11, they are known as the Chatushloki Srimad Bhagavad Gita. The whole Bhagavad Gita in 4 verses. Like, it is amazing. Like, that one may wonder that the Bhagavad Gita is contained in 700 verses. One may think, like, how is it possible the same knowledge can be contained in 4 verses. So that is the beauty of spiritual knowledge. Because in the case of material knowledge, we see that if somebody reads a big book on medicine, suppose like textbooks on medicine, surgery or engineering, sometimes we see that those books are like very huge. Many hundreds and thousands of pages. And like there are like libraries in which on each branch of engineering, every month they take out different like journals. So when you go to such libraries, like books are like really huge, and every month they are producing more and more journals and conference papers. And when it comes to material knowledge, unless you study the whole book, you will not get the whole knowledge. But the beauty of spiritual knowledge is, spiritual knowledge is like a cotton. See, cotton, you can actually fill the whole room with so many kilos of cotton. But the same cotton can be compressed and put in a small bag. Similarly, spiritual knowledge like Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, they can be expanded into lakhs of verses. And the same knowledge can be compressed in 4 verses. So that is the unique beauty of spiritual knowledge. So in the first of this Chatushloki, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which we are seeing today, Krishna is saying, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So in this verse, Krishna is telling who is actually really intelligent in this world. So everybody is seeking education. Everyone wants to become intelligent in some particular field. Like somebody is studying engineering or medicine or arts or economics or chartered accountants. Different subjects. So different educations, different branches of education are there. So when a person masters for a particular branch of education, they consider themselves to be intelligent. But who is actually intelligent? Like one Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, he had gone to MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. That is like one of the top college in the whole world. Just like in India, we have like Indian Institutes of Technology, like the best college in India. Similarly, in America, one of the best colleges like MIT. So Prabhupada went there, and Prabhupada asked the students, so where is the Almighty? So students said, no, there is no, we don't know where is the Almighty. And Prabhupada went ahead, and then he said that MIT should be called as Maya's Institute of Technology. Because there's nobody is here to teach Almighty. Nobody is here to teach who am I, who is God, what is the relationship between the living entity and the God. So it should be called as Maya's Institute of Technology. When we see the modern education, they are mainly concerned about how to earn money. So there are 4 subjects. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Dharma means the occupational engagement. What is the real dharma? The occupational duty of a living entity. And then as a result of performing dharma, one gets artha, some wealth. And then because of that, one is able to satisfy his desires. And then finally, one will achieve liberation. So modern education is concerned only about artha, how to enjoy artha. Because they are not concerned about dharma, so that artha only leads to anartha, unwanted things. They actually get so many troubles. But Vedic education, they are concerned about dharma. They are concerned about performing the duty. What is our duty? And we should perform our duty. And then as a result of performing the duty, one gets artha. Then one can satisfy the desires. So that is why, in fact, like one devotee was saying, what is actually modern education? In a nutshell, if you see, in the modern education, people are trying to study the prison house in great detail. It is said the whole world is like a prison house. So in the modern education, all the students who are trying to study different subject matters, who are not trying to inquire about the spiritual knowledge, they are trying to study the prison house in great detail. what is the length and width of this particular wall, what is the height of this wall, how this particular gate is made up, what is the substance. Everything they are studying in great detail, except how to get out of the prison house. So what is the use of such knowledge? You are studying the prison house in great detail, but if you do not know how to get out of the prison house, it's like the height of stupidity. But whereas in spiritual knowledge, we are concerned more about how to get out of the prison house. So that is the real key. So that is why in one particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma, he is telling, he performs great austerities. After performing great austerities, he actually gets the darshan of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So after, when he gets the darshan of Supreme Lord Krishna, he starts offering wonderful prayers to the Supreme Lord. In one of the prayers, he says, Gyatosi me adya suchiran nanu deha bhajam. Lord Brahma said, O my Lord, after many, many years of penance, I have come to know about you. Oh, how unfortunate the embodied living entities are that they are unable to know your personality. My Lord, you are the only knowable object because there is nothing supreme beyond you. If there is anything supposedly superior to you, it is not the absolute. You exist as the supreme by exhibiting the creative energy of matter. So Lord Brahma, in a nutshell, he's telling that you are the supreme cause of everything. There is nobody superior to you. This I have understood after many, many years of penance. And then he's saying, he's actually regretting for the unfortunate condition of the living entities. Saying that how the living entities, they are struggling so hard, but they do not understand what is the supreme cause of everyone. Prabhupada starts the purport with a very classic statement. It's a very powerful statement. He's saying, the highest peak of ignorance. So somebody may be knowledgeable, somebody may be ignorant. Okay, ignorance is there. But then even in ignorance, there is like peak of ignorance. And like when you go to the mountains, there are different peaks in the mountain. But still there is something like highest peak of the mountain. So Prabhupada is saying, what is the highest peak of ignorance? The highest peak of ignorance of the living entities who are conditioned by the material bodies is that they are unaware of the supreme cause of the cosmic manifestation. If a person does not know what is the cause of this, what is the cause of this whole cosmic manifestation, who is the cause of the whole world, then such a person, even if he has hundreds and thousands of PhDs, according to Srila Prabhupada, he is actually at the highest peak of ignorance. That means he is like the number one fool in the whole universe. I'm just repeating the words of Srila Prabhupada. But we can understand. On the other hand, one may be completely illiterate. But if he knows who is the supreme cause of everyone, supreme cause of everything, he is actually the highly intelligent person. So that is what this verse is saying. That Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. Krishna is saying, I am the source of all the material and spiritual worlds. And one who knows this, he is actually a real intelligent person. So that is the actually standard of estimating a person, whether somebody is intelligent or not. And then Prabhupada goes on to say, he's saying, the most stalwart scientists and philosophers therefore cannot be accepted as wonderful. So many scientists and philosophers, they may be like very learned. On the other hand, somebody may be a simple housewife, but then if he is worshipping Krishna, if she is worshipping Krishna, understanding Krishna is the Supreme Lord, supreme cause of everything, he is considered to be most learned according to this verse of the Gita. And then it is said, Prabhupada says, how can a person come to understand this particular truth that Krishna is the supreme cause of everything? One can come to understand this only when a person undergoes great penance. Only after undergoing great penance, one can actually come to understand this fact. That is why it is said, the human form of life is actually meant for austerity. We have got this human form of life after many, many species of life. After transmigrating from one species to another species, after transmigrating from lakhs of species. This human form of life is very rare. Like many times, when we talk to the younger generation, why don't you take to spirituality? So they would say, the spirituality is not meant for us. It is meant for somebody who is like, after 50 years old, maybe such a person is supposed to take to spirituality. It's not meant for us. So I was giving one of the example in one of the previous classes. Like suppose you are giving an exam. See, suppose you are giving a competitive exam. You are preparing for the exam. So suppose the exam is in the month of January 2010. So you are trying to prepare. You are thinking three more months are there. You are just trying to prepare very slowly. But then you see another person who is preparing for the exam, who is studying. He gets up morning 4 o'clock. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Gauranitai ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai. Suppose you see another person, he gets up in the morning 4 o'clock, and then he studies for 3 hours in the morning, and then studies for 3 hours in the afternoon, studies for 3 hours in the evening for the same exam. So when you see such a person, will get a shock, will become so much afraid. Because you are preparing for the same exam and you see another person studying 9 hours a day for the same exam. Whereas you are spending hardly half an hour for the exam. And then you come to know even more astonishing fact. You come to know that this person is giving that exam in 2011, not in January 2009. Then you wonder, like, why is he preparing for this exam so hard, although he is going to give this exam after 2 years? Then you actually come to the conclusion that this exam is something like very difficult exam. That is why he is preparing, although he has to give the exam after 2 years, he is preparing from now onwards, spending 9 hours a day for the exam. Then you come to the conclusion, how much more I should be serious in preparing for this exam when I have to give this exam after 2 months. So similarly, when we tell the people, you should take to spirituality right now. People say, no, I have 30 years to go. I am just 25 years, I am just 30 years old. I will take it to spirituality after 30, after 60 or 70 years. Right now, I have a lot of things to do, people say. But then, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have information in which Lord Shiva is saying, Kastabja Nabo Vijayati Pandito. Lord Shiva is saying, he says, great demigods and great prajapatis, they are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead unhesitatingly. They are worshipping the Supreme Lord, they are performing devotional service to the Supreme Lord, they are taking to spiritual life unhesitatingly, without any hesitation. And there Prabhupada is commenting in the purport, great demigods, what is their lifespan? One day of demigod's lifetime is equal to 6 months of a living entity in this life, in this world. Demigods have lakhs of years. Although they have lakhs and thousands and lakhs of years, but they are actually taking to spiritual life without any hesitation. They are practicing spiritual life as if they are going to die within a few days. That means they actually know the importance of the spiritual life. They know the importance. They know that what are they going to get after performing spiritual life. But whereas ordinary human beings like us, we hardly have 50 or 60 years. Nowadays, people die of heart attack in 30 years or 40 years. So how much more it is important for us to take to spiritual life when we hardly have few years to go. Whereas the demigods, they have lakhs of years to go, but they are actually taking to spiritual life without any hesitation. So a learned person means who actually takes to spiritual life at the very moment. Even though he's just 20 years or 30 years old. So at least one should try to inquire, what is it? What is given in the Bhagavad Gita? So we are actually trying to say that, like, at least don't blindly reject Bhagavad Gita. So use your intelligence and try to understand what is given in the Bhagavad Gita. Ultimately, you should know clearly that nobody can force you to practice spiritual life. Nobody can force you. So at least, you can give a try. You can make an experiment. Just like the science, there is an experiment. Similarly, you can perform an experiment. You can perform an experiment of chanting Hare Krishna and taking up to this process and see whether you get the results. Do this experiment for 6 months and see whether you are getting the result or not. So in this way, we can understand the importance of taking to spiritual life. And in this verse, Krishna is making another important point. He is saying, the wise people who know this particular truth, what truth? That Krishna is the source of material and spiritual world. What is the symptom of such a person? Because many people in this world, they claim that they are actually spiritualists, they are actually great gurus and they are great babas and they are highly advanced in spiritual knowledge. But then Krishna is saying, what is the real symptom of a person who actually knows the truth that Krishna is the source of material and spiritual world? Such a person engages in the devotional service to the Lord and worships Him with all their hearts. So it's a very simple thing. Somebody is a true spiritual, that means somebody knows Krishna is the supreme source of everything. That means he actually worships the Supreme Lord with full attention, with all their hearts. Prabhupada went to Gita Sammelan. So there was a conference on Bhagavad Gita. And in the conference, lamp was kept. Then different people were sitting. Prabhupada, you are actually trying to have a conference on Bhagavad Gita, but where is the photo of the speaker of the Gita? You are not trying to worship the speaker of the Gita. So people are trying to speak on the Gita, but then they don't have any regard for the speaker of the Gita. They don't worship the speaker of the Gita. That means such a person does not have the true knowledge of Gita. Because Krishna is clearly saying, such a person worships Him with all their hearts. He is saying, Bhava Samanvita. Buddha Bhava Samanvita. Prabhupada gives the word-to-word translation as with great attention. So, I was just thinking, although maybe beyond my realization, but said it is said, attention to detail is a sign of love. So if a person really knows Krishna as a source of everything, that means he will actually worship him with great attention. That's what Prabhupada is saying. And then we see in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting various references to prove that how Krishna is the source of everyone. How Krishna is the source of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the other demigods and all the living entities. So we will see some various references to see that how Krishna is the source of all the demigods. Like many times, and Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada would be preaching, like some people would argue, how do you say that, why are you so sectarian? Why are you saying that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Why are you saying Krishna is God? Nobody is superior to him. It seems your philosophy is so sectarian. So Prabhupada would say, see, we are very open-minded. See, if you produce a better candidate for God, better than Krishna, we will accept him and we will worship him. So please produce a better candidate for Krishna, better candidate than Krishna, so then we are ready to worship. And that person, he didn't say any word. So even according to the, when you see the democracy, suppose in a particular, say, constituency, particular city or this thing, like election is happening. So one person is standing for the election, for the post of MLA or MP. Suppose if there is nobody against him standing for that post, then that person will be automatically declared as MLA or MP. This is the law of democracy. So we are openly asking, if you can produce a better candidate than Krishna for the post of God, you will accept. But then nobody is ready to, nobody is producing a better candidate. If you are not producing a candidate itself, that means according to the law of democracy, then we accept the only candidate we have, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. So Prabhupada would say like that. So it is said in the scripture called Bhakti Rasam Sindhu that in that the different qualities of Krishna are mentioned. One of the quality of Krishna is all honorable. Like when you go and meet a like important person, sometimes like when you have to meet say MD of a company or something, you'll have to take appointment many days in advance. Or if you have to meet a big doctor, like you have to take appointment many days, many weeks in advance. If you have to get a faster appointment, you'll have to get through some known person. So sometimes when you meet, go and meet such a person, and then there are so many persons standing in the queue, and then finally we wait for so many hours, and then finally the assistant comes and says, no, the doctor is so busy, or the MD is so busy, today you can't meet him. Kindly please go away, come on some other day. So when, like, when we meet such a person, like, who is so busy, then we understand, oh, this person is really important. So, similarly, Krishna is known as all honorable. He is the chief among all important persons. So it is said, when Krishna was living in Dwaraka, so different demigods came to meet Krishna. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, so many demigods would come to meet Lord Krishna. So the assistant of Lord Krishna, the doorkeeper of Lord Krishna, once he told to the demigods, oh my dear Lord Brahma, oh my dear Lord Shiva, please wait in the bench. Please sit in the bench. Lord Krishna is very busy now, so you can't meet. So please sit in the bench here. And then he told Lord Indra, so my dear Indra, please chant your prayers little in a low volume, because you are chanting little in a high volume, it is creating some disturbance. Please chant little silently. And then he said, "Oh, my dear Varuna, please go away. Already so many people are standing in the line. You can't meet Lord Krishna today. So better you go away and you come on some other day." So we see that even great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Varuna, Lord Indra, they are standing in line and they are at the mercy of the doorkeeper of Krishna to meet him. And there is another instance. Like sometimes people, when they read the scriptures, many times they see that even Lord Shiva is also called as supreme controller. He is also called as Bhagavan. Lord Brahma is called as Bhagavan. So when you see, when you read Shiva Puran, you'll see that Lord Shiva is known as Bhagavan. Maybe probably the same verse may be repeated there. So somebody may argue, see, you are speaking from Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying as the Supreme Lord. But in Shiva Puran, it is mentioned Shiva is the Supreme Lord. In some other Puran, it will be mentioned Brahma is the Supreme Lord. So who is actually the Supreme Lord? So even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is considered to be the personification of Krishna, like in one place in the fourth canto, when the demigods go to meet Lord Shiva, they address Lord Shiva as the supreme controller. You are the supreme controller. You are the supreme creator. You are the source of, you are the master of the three gunas. They address. So, when such demigods address Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, or when the sages address such personalities as Bhagavan, when they address them as supreme controller, that means, in relative to the position of those particular sages who are addressing that particular demigod, that demigod is the supreme controller. But when you see instances when Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and all the sages, when they go to meet Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, all of them would actually call Lord Krishna as the Bhagavan. That means relative to all of these people, that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is the Bhagavan. So when Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna is not present, that time when the demigods meet Lord Shiva, they may call Lord Shiva as the Bhagavan. But you see some instances, we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when all the demigods go to meet Lord Vishnu, all of them unanimously call Lord Vishnu as the Bhagavan. So that means it clearly says that Lord Vishnu is superior to everyone. So, in another place, like there is a nice story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Once there was a fight between Lord Krishna and a demon called Banasur. So this Banasur was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So this Banasur, he had a benediction from Lord Shiva, that Lord Shiva gave a benediction that whenever you fight in a battle, I will personally come and fight for you as a commander-in-chief of your army. So when Lord Krishna was fighting with this demon Banasur, Lord Shiva was the commander-in-chief of the Banasur's army. So Lord Shiva was fighting, and under Lord Shiva, Lord Ganesh, Kartikeya, and so many other demigods were also fighting. So there was such a severe fight. It was such a very severe fight. And finally, Lord Shiva released his ultimate weapon called Shivajwar. So the Shivajwar, it is like the Shivajwar, it will create such intense heat, intense fire all over the place. It is said 12 times greater than the temperature of the sun planet. That much amount of heat is generated by this Shivajwar. And this Shivajwar is used by Lord Shiva at the time of annihilation of the whole universe. So Lord Shiva released his ultimate weapon, Shivajwar, which created fire all over the place. So then Lord Krishna released his weapon called as Narayana Jwar. So this Narayana Jwar, it counteracts the Shivajwar. Shivajwar created intense heat, but Narayana Jwar created intense cold. So then there was fight between Narayana Jwar and Shivajwar, and naturally the heat was getting subsided. So then Shivajwar, because even the weapons are actually personalities, so Shivajwar, because its temperature was becoming low, Shivajwar, he wanted to take shelter because he was getting troubled. So Shivajwar went to take shelter of Lord Shiva, who actually released him, who is his master. But then Lord Shiva could not give shelter to Shivajwar. When Lord Shiva could not give shelter, none of the other demigods could also not give shelter to Shivajwar. Then ultimately Shivajwar came and took shelter of Lord Krishna only. So then there is a series of prayers in which Shivajwar offers prayers to Lord Krishna, in which Shivajwar is saying that Shiva is in charge, Lord Shiva is in charge of destruction, Lord Brahma is in charge of creation, but both of them cannot do the work of maintaining the world. But you, the Supreme Lord Krishna, you can do the job of maintaining. But not only you can do the job of maintaining, but you can also do the work of creation, and you can also do the work of destruction. So you are the Supreme. In which Shivajwar is offering wonderful prayers to Lord Krishna. So from this instance we can understand that how Lord Krishna is superior to Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and other demigods. And like few verses before this, in the 10th chapter, Krishna said, Yomam ajam anadimcha veti loka maheshwaram asam mudasamartyeshu sarva papai pramuchyate. Krishna is saying that how he is actually supremely worshipable, how he is greater than everyone. He is saying, Yomam ajam anadimcha, one who understands me as unborn, as beginningless, as the supreme controller of everyone, such a person, if a person simply understands this fact, he will become freed from all the sinful reaction. Like ajam. Like in this verse, Krishna is saying, I am the unborn. So we living entities, we take birth, we die, then again we take birth in some other species, then we die. This is the nature of a conditioned living entity who is transmigrating from one species to another species. Krishna is saying that, but I am unborn. That means Krishna is saying that he is different from the conditioned living entity who is transmigrating from one species to another species. But not only is he saying that he is unborn, but he is anadim, he is beginningless. Because there are conditioned living entities who are there in the material world. But then, when a person goes back to the spiritual world, he becomes liberated. So he is no more unborn. Because once a person goes back to the spiritual world, once a person gets a spiritual body, then he will no longer get birth, old age, disease and death. So then what about them? So Krishna is saying, I am different from such people also. Because such people, they are called as sadhana siddhas. Sadhana siddha means those who have attained perfection by their spiritual practice. Or put in simple words, like somebody, like conditioned soul is like a poor person who is like a who is a poor man who is trying to earn little bit of wealth. But the sadhana siddhas are like billionaires, but then they have attained their fortune by working hard. Like we see sometimes, like from what is that? Rogues to riches, something like rags to riches. We see some big stories. So sadhana siddhas are like from rags to riches. They have become liberated. They are no more unborn. They no more get birth, old age, disease and death. But then their perfection had a beginning. So Krishna is saying they may be unborn, but then they are not beginningless. Because previously they were conditioned souls, now they have become liberated. But then somebody may say, what about the Nitya Siddhas who are eternally perfect? Like somebody may become a billionaire from a poor man. But then some other person may be billionaire by birth only. Because he just inherited the wealth of his father. So he may be billionaire from birth. So such a person is not unborn, and he is also not beginningless, because he is eternally like a billionaire. He is eternally perfect. So such people are called Nitya Siddhas. So Krishna is saying, so there may be Nitya Siddhas, they may be unborn, they may be beginningless, but then they do not have control over all the planetary systems. But then I have control over all the planetary systems. Vetti Loka Maheshwaram. Loka means all the planets. Maheshwaram means I am the supreme controller of all the planets. So in this way Krishna is saying, I am different from the conditioned soul. I am different from the Nitya Sadhana Siddhas. I am different from the Nitya Siddhas. And Krishna is also saying, I am different from the demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Because one may say, see, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they have control over all the planets. They are Loka Maheshwaram. But then Krishna is saying, they may have control over all the planets, but then they are not beginningless. Their controllership over the planets, that had a beginning. But then I have control over all the planets since time immemorial. There is no beginning for this. In this way, Krishna is saying that I am different from all the conditioned living entities. I am greater than the sadhana siddhas. I am greater than the nitya siddhas. I am greater than the demigods like Brahma, Shiva, etc. So lastly, I would like to conclude, like when a person does not understand this particular fact, like we see, especially in this world, like when we read different magazines, newspapers, one of the important part of like newspapers is like they dedicate different many pages about celebrity lifestyle, what are the activities of celebrities. Like once I saw in a billboard, it was written, the number one celebrity lifestyle magazine. Then one name was there. So people are very inquisitive to know about celebrity lifestyles. In fact, celebrity lifestyle corner is like one of the important part of any newspaper or magazine. If that column or such section is not there, many people don't look forward to such newspaper. Even if it is some Economic Times, it's supposed to be a financial newspaper, still there will be some column or some news about celebrities, because people like to read about celebrities. And especially when there is news about celebrity making some confession about their inner life and inner this thing, and that will be like a big headline. That will be in the front page of the magazine. This celebrity says this thing. That will be like a big headline. So people are definitely attracted to celebrity lifestyle and confessions of a celebrity. So here we are going to present a confession of a celebrity from Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there was a king called Prachina Barhishat. So he is actually presenting, he is confessing himself to a great sage called Narada Muni. Sometimes like big celebrities, like in the newspaper, you will see like they are decorated nicely and flashy photographs and they are smiling nicely, etc. But then when they meet some saintly person, when they meet some person, they actually confess what is their actually, how they are unhappy, they confess their lifestyle. And when some reporter or somebody comes to know about that, they will just put in the headline. And when we actually see that confession of celebrity, then we understand how they present themselves, how they are actually miserable. So similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this king Prachina Barhishat. He is a king of the big, he is a king of the whole planet. He is a very big king. But then when Narada Muni comes to meet him, he is actually confessing his own position. In fact, this particular king, Prachina Barhishat, he had a wife called Shatadruti, who was a big celebrity in the whole universe. When Shatadruti, she was so beautiful that even great demigods, they were actually mad after her. So this king Prachina Barhishat had such a beautiful wife. And then he was actually performing so many sacrifices, karmakanda sacrifices. He was perfectly following all the rules and regulations mentioned in the scriptures. He was performing so many animal sacrifices. But still, when he met Narada Muni, he confessed to Narada Muni, he said that my intelligence is entangled in this, all these karmakanda sacrifices. I actually do not know what is the real goal of my life. Please instruct me, what is the real goal of my life? So somebody is following all the rules and regulations. Say, somebody is going, following all the traffic rules. Or somebody is going in a train from, somebody is going in a taxi, everything. Then if the taxi driver asks him, where do you want to go? He says, I don't know where I want to go. You take me wherever you want me to go. That means you would say you are a, I mean, you, taxi driver will think he is a mad or a foolish person. So similarly, people are trying to follow so many rules and regulations. They are doing so many puja, paat, etc. But then if somebody does not know the goal of life, he is actually a fool. So this king Prachina Barhishat, although he was a king of the whole country, and though he had such a beautiful wife, he was a big celebrity, and he had a big celebrity as his wife, but then he is confessing that actually I do not know the goal of my life. And he was following all the rules and regulations properly. Although he was perfectly following the rules and regulations of the Vedic scriptures, but still he actually did not know the goal of life. Then what to speak of these celebrities whom we hear about in the newspapers? So if we simply read these two verses spoken by this Prachina Barhishat, you save the effort of reading the news about celebrities which are published in the past, which are going to be published in the future, which are published in the present. Because news about celebrity, it may be published in a very hyped up way. Oh, this celebrity attended this function. They may put nice photographs, etc. But then actually, if you actually hear the confessions of them, they are actually miserable. So, if we simply hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we can even hear the confessions of a celebrity. In this way, you will save the effort of reading this celebrity section in the newspaper. So in these verses of the Bhagavad Gita, so what is the real goal of life? Who is actually really intelligent? Such knowledge is given in very simple words in just in four shlokas, starting from this text 8 to text 11. So if anybody has any question, we'll take it up, otherwise we'll stop. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.